Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome, welcome to a wonderful June 1st. Summer is unofficially upon us, but the sun is out, weather's nice, and we really don't have much to go on right now, unfortunately. We were just talking before the show of how, unfortunately right now there's not a lot going on, with the Eagles are, kind of in OTAs, and there's really nothing special going on other than, seeing if Carson Wentz, how well he does. But, Flyers are in their off season and nothing going on much with them. And Sixers, they got the draft coming up, but, it's pretty much going to be one of two people unless some trades happen. And, as you saw this past week, the Phillies showed everybody that their offense is truly terrible and are pretty much what we thought they'd all be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. For the Phillies, unless their starting pitcher is lights out, they really have no chance.
Yeah, they're pretty much a starting five of Cole Hamels. No run support.
Yeah,
I'm sure this
entire staff can identify to Cole
Hamels. I'm sure Cole is sitting there in Texas, kind of laughing like, "Now you know my pain."
Yeah, right.
So, but speaking of the Phillies, one thing I definitely wanted to bring up is the terribleness of Ryan Howard, who I believe had a total of 4 or 5 hits all of May, batted just over 100 in the month of May, and I believe his total average is now in around the 150 mark. I just received an update that he will sit about the next 3 or 4 days, giving Tommy Joseph the start at first base. But, the question remains right now is, what do we do with Ryan Howard? He's getting paid a crap ton of money. And he's
going to get paid a crap ton of money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He is untradeable at this point because he sucks.
I don't even think you could sell the idea of giving him to an AL team to use as a DH. Which I don't even know that you could even sell, making them pick up a dime of his contract.
You'd pretty much have to pay for a majority of the contract at that point. What's the point?
You
might as well just drop
him.
Even
then, you're not getting much back. Yeah.
No. Exactly.
You're probably getting some minor leaguer who is
a relief pitcher that, won't amount to anything. So what's the point? So, I hopefully Howard can figure it out, but I highly doubt it. I actually heard a joke that they're going to rename the Mendoza line the Howard line and drop it down to 150 instead of 200.
He
is doing so poor.
As humiliating as it is to get released mid-season, which I feel like we're not doing him any favors or any justice by keeping him. What's the point here? Even if it is his swan song, which is at the end, but he's retiring at the end, it's just release him now. Let him go away.
Yeah.
Cut him a check. I just think it's going to be better for his life. It'll be the healing then for all of us. Who really rooted for him. And, to the point where over the last couple of years, some would probably call me a Ryan Howard apologist. I sat there, and when people were like, oh, he's making all this money, he strikes out all the time. But, he didn't have much of a problem when he was making $500,000 and knocking out 60 home runs. I didn't hear any complaining then.
It would be different in this situation if there wasn't someone kind of waiting in the wings like
right.
Tommy Joseph. Now, don't get me wrong, Tommy Joseph certainly is not, you know, necessarily projected, although he once was as a catcher, to be the next big thing. But, you know, he's still a young prospect. He's, you know, hitting the cover off the ball in the minors, and so they brought him up. And, you know, he's doing well so far, adjusting, you know, as a rookie would. But,
sure.
You know, with the team and the youth, you know, that they already have and Franco and you know, Herrera and some of the young pitchers, you know, they're not doing anything. Let's bring up Joseph and, you know what, maybe he can continue his good hitting from the minors and bring it up to the pros. And, you know, all Howard is going to do is stunt and that growth and, you know, cut into it. So
at this point, I think all Howard is I would tell him, you know, if he can come off the bench, be shooting role, if they've got a right hand and they don't have a left ready, we'll bring you off the bench to finish it off. You know, give you your chance to, you know, one quite to get back to the location, hopefully a nice location for the crowd based on what he's done in the past. But Tommy Joseph is your starting first baseman. I think that should be the role you go. And look, maybe once, you know, twice a month, we give Tommy Joseph a day off to start playing now. But that's
right.
About it. I think at this point, you need to let Tommy James start and see what he gets.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. Like, as much as I am in the past, like, I love Ryan now. And I think I speak for you too. When I think, he was a big part of what made this team special. You know, 07, 08, 09, like all those, you know, winning the World Series, he was a big part of that. And someday
Absolutely.
He's number six, going to be retired. They're going to put him in the Phillies Wall of Fame, and it's going to be a great time. And everybody will forget about how we booed him when he struck out a million and a half times. And
a lot.
We can all start. I just feel like that's the only problem. Start now because you're not doing any good for
him. Now, again, I would hope that they're out there trying to find a trade partner. Obviously, that's probably not happening.
Well, you're not going to get much in return.
Well, no, and I think, you know, again, I think the Phillies would be smart to just get something for something. You know, again, if they give you you know, a bucket of baseballs, I think you go for it.
Right.
You know, I just think releasing him would be such a slap in the face.
No, I agree. It would be a slap in the face.
You know, and I hate to see him go out like that. That's all.
Using the role that I described either as a hitter or an very occasional starter.
Well, it does look like we have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and bring that caller in. Hello, caller. You're on the air with the Philly Mick and Hump Show.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's going
on,
old man? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I guess you guys want to get rid of the old man, Ryan Howard, huh?
Yes, indeed we do. It's time for him to go.
Well, that's kind of a tough situation with him. I mean, you have to play him so he can do something so other teams would want him. But, you know, he just hasn't been able to do it.
No, and that's true, too. That's why I suggested, again, like I said earlier, the role of the pinch hitter. He brings him off the bench, and especially in a situation where if they don't have, the other team doesn't have a lefty up and ready. You bring Howard in the pinch hitter in a spot.
Yeah.
And that's the spot where I think you use him in. And then occasionally, like, you know, once a week, maybe you start Ryan Howard at first base. And you just hope that he can somehow, you know, run into a couple. Maybe not one out of the park every now and then.
Well, you know, no team out there is going to want to give up anything, and they're going the Phillies are going to end up paying a large chunk of your salary,
if not most.
So what's the buyout? $14-15 million
It's along those lines.
I mean, that's probably
a
smart play.
If you can get anything, and as far as I'm concerned, it's like cash relief for his cap, or not cap, baseball, but his salary. If you can get them to take on even $1 million of that money, you know, you're saving yourself a million. Like, that's what I think the spot they're in now is, can you find anybody that takes them on just to save you a little money? You're not even necessarily looking for that much back in return. If you're saying, you know, career minor leaguer, you know, someone who, maybe some left-handed relief pitcher who, you know, hasn't found his way to the big leagues, that's about what you're going to get back for Ryan Howard. And, you know, hope that maybe they pick up $1 million of his contract.
Well, you'd have to pay a large chunk of his salary if you expect to get any players back.
I don't think you can expect to get much back.
No, probably not. Yeah, there's not much market for a washed-up first baseman, is there?
Yeah,
not so much.
Yeah. See, that's why I thought if you could DH in some place like Boston, they're making a run. You know, somebody that. Well, no, they've got the deeper. I guess it's New York that has the short right field.
Yeah.
But he just can't seem to get around on a fastball anymore. Right?
Boston has the New York does too, but Boston has the shorter right field.
Yeah.
Do they? Okay.
Again,
I know right field they have the wall, but I mean left field at Boston.
Yeah.
So they're not looking for any. They're not looking for another second batter.
No, and they already have a DH. So essentially, Howard would be a off the bench bat, which again is sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there were an American League team that could use a left-handed bat DH that's in the chase, I mean, that's certainly where, you know, you would get – and maybe if he played a little bit more often, maybe he'd get his timing back. I don't know. I just don't think so. I think he must be at the end of the rope there.
Yeah.
We need to get some of the young players up. We need to be looking at them, you know, so.
Agreed.
That's what I don't want to see our attempt to get salvage something for Ryan Howard, somehow something grow. If given the choice, you can maybe get something back for Ryan Howard. That means you're going to stunt Tommy Joseph's development. I'd rather just not stunt that development, because I don't think whatever you get back for Howard, if you get anything back, is going to be enough to warrant stunting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How has he been in the locker room? You know, in the clubhouse? Has he been a detriment?
No, he appears to have been very good in the locker room. In fact, you know, this, they're talking about the difference between Sandberg and why can't I think of his name now?
Pete, just say Pete.
McCannon?
Yeah. McCannon, yeah, thank you. And Pete McCannon is, Sandberg would sit Howard against lefties, but then wouldn't go talk to him about it, wouldn't, like, you know, basically treated Howard like, I don't have to worry about you, I don't have to discuss anything with you. Whereas McCannon will now go and talk to Howard, and just taking the simple 5 minutes out of his day to say, right, this is why I'm doing this, this is my strategy, this is all on the same page. And it's really helped Ryan, because treated Ryan like a human being as opposed to just, you know, commodity.
You mean Ryan Ryan Sandberg wasn't a great communicator?
You know, spoiler alert.
Shocker.
Don't think that was.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I think he had a lot of issues.
Yeah, by saying Ryan Sandberg was a poor communicator, I think I'm going out on the sturdiest of limbs there.
Yeah.
For everybody out there.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Phillies with, you know, losing five now in the way they've been, but they've been playing against quality teams. I mean, when they played the Tigers, Cubs, and Nats, you knew that was going to be a tough stand, and I guess that pretty much tells us where we're at.
Yeah
and,
exactly.
And we kind of saw already that this team was, as I said earlier, unless their starting pitcher is dead on,
you've got no chance. And,
yeah.
You know,
so,
if you fall behind at all, 1-0, 2-0 is almost insurmountable. But Aaron Nola gives up one run in the first inning, and you just knew it's over.
So, number one draft pick this year, what's it going to be, a pitcher, or will it be a corner outfielder type?
There, now, the pitchers are, you know, are the big talk. A.J. Puck is one pitcher.
Well, how about the kid out of New Jersey, DeGroom or whatever, Jason?
Yeah, DeGroom, he's another one they've talked a lot about.
Yeah,
Jason Groom, he's another one that they've talked a lot about as far as being – the other guy I heard, he's a position player. I heard it a couple weeks ago. His name's – it's a simple name, like it's something Lewis. He plays in Mercer.
Kyle Lewis. Yeah, he plays at Mercer University down in Georgia.
I heard about him, and they were saying he's somebody that you might want to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but the kid out in California now, he's a high school player, that Blake Rutherford, that's the other one. They say he could be a starting corner outfielder. So what do you do? Do you go pitching? They have or do you go outfielder or, you know, a hitter?
If you're looking to fast-track somebody, you can get a fast-track pitcher because they don't have to learn to hit big league hitting or big league pitching. You know,
but what do we need more?
They need everything.
Well, their pitching hasn't been that bad.
Aaron Nola, Velasquez, those guys are good, but I just don't feel like we have a top-end, you know, ace of a staff. And so I still say you still need pitching. And then
we need a lot. Yeah. An outfielder plays every day. You know, pitcher pitches every 4 or 5 days. And that's another thing to consider.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, a hitter gives you 4 or 5 times a game to contribute, where the starting pitcher, when he's in there for 6-7 innings. You know, a part of each time when you're
you
out.
You hope
field.
He is, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, I know. I think it's kind of a neat dilemma. I mean, having number one pick. But, I know there's that.
That's where I feel like you have to trust your scouts. Whoever the scouts tell you is the number one player. Don't overcomplicate me. It's always my motto.
Well, I know we were talking about this before. It seems like in baseball, a lot of times, number one picks can be a bust.
I think baseball is the hardest part.
Yeah. But I guess you got to be a really bad team to get some of the really good players, right?
True.
Yeah.
And we qualify.
Yeah.
That's what you saw the years, the Pirates or the Royals. You know, they were terrible for decades. Now, you hope it's not that, but that's
well, whenever the young players got good, they moved on.
Yeah, because they'd only hit on, say, one or two at a time, and then they needed to compensate and have, you know, more young players. And so you'd have to turn that one or two players that hit on. And you'd have to trade them and hope to, you know, get 4 guys back and hope one of them turns out to be good too.
Yeah, but see, the Phillies are not going to have to do that. The talent that they raise, they're going to be able to pay for, because some of the I know the TV contract and stuff they've signed and some of the new owners they have, there was an influx of money, and they're apparently flush with money. So if these young players pan out, we should be able to sign them and keep them.
Well, that's the thing. You want to make sure, one, you're not going to just go on a spending spree with that money. Invest it in your team. You know, build from within. Baseball is another one of those sports. Since there are so many rounds of a draft, it is a lot easier to just try to build from within.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that you miss on all of your picks from a draft. It has happened, but usually, even the first round pick doesn't work. Okay, second round pick, third round pick. Now, the thing is, you don't see the results of that right away. You have to wait a couple of years to see them develop. You know, it's very rare where you draft a guy and a year later he's in the big leagues. you know, Aaron Nola was an exception where it was basically a year and he was in the big leagues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do, yeah, you do have some of those, yeah. I'd like to see us get another one.
Well,
yeah.
And yeah, that's why if you're going to bat track,
yeah. I guess hitters are more difficult.
Well, they have to learn how to hit big league pitching. And that's always going to be harder than learning how to pitch to hitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say if they're even, you should bet on the pitcher to go to go further. Just because
yeah.
they.
But unfortunately, what we really need is hitting right now.
Well, yeah.
The pitchers always have the inherited advantage of they know what's coming. It's because they're the ones pitching it, whereas the hitter has to guess. So it's, I mean, but if a hitter far outweighs that pitcher, don't just take a pitcher because you have the number one pick and you feel like you should pick a pitcher to fast track. If you feel like the best player on the board is either that the kid out of Mercer or whoever, you know, you better take that guy who's projected to be your top pick. And if that's an outfielder,
yeah.
then that's who you take.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the problem, you know.
And again, you have
kinda,
other
you gotta take
yeah.
that guy, and it's, you know, you're just hope it's a crapshoot. You're just hoping that he really pans out.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a lot more forgivable if you take some guy, you know. Where if you take a guy who isn't the consensus number one, thinking, well, I really believe in this guy, and if he doesn't pan out, I feel like that would cost your job faster than if you were to say, look, everybody missed on this guy. We all thought he was going to be a big leaguer.
Mm-hmm. When is the draft?
It's in a couple of weeks.
Last week of June.
Yeah,
so around the same time as the basketball, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the 1 week is basketball. 23rd basketball has been the next week.
Well, let me tell you, that's not a good sign when your two franchises both have the number one draft pick.
Hey, look, we have three of them picking the top two this year. We have
the Eagles.
Right. Well, the Eagles traded up.
Yeah.
Right, but still.
Well, I guess that means the Flyers better trade up. Five, right?
Hey, I'd be
yeah.
all right with that.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah.
Their team, I was very happy with the Flyers. That they didn't, around the trade deadline, when they were in contention, they didn't sell out to try it. You know,
like they normally would have done.
Yeah, they didn't give away from downtown. I'd like to take the course. It really, you know, gives me a lot of hope in Hextall. The Flyers. I feel like they have a plan.
Yeah, well, Hextall running the show now. I guess that's a good thing. But at least it'll be different.
Yeah, definitely different than the Bob Clark days. Oh, man, we're close to the playoffs. I better make a trade, give up some of the downtown. We've got to win now.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we get that, you know, sixth playoff spot and... You know, that if we're lucky, we somehow advance to the second round, but then we get left out of losing five games. Because that's a lot better than maybe if you don't make the move, maybe you don't make the playoffs for next year. You have all this young talent to bring them all in. And
mm-hmm.
And that's why I really, I didn't think the Phillies would be in a position to where in a month they'd be talking about. You know, becoming buyers at the deadline. I thought that was real cute that people were talking about that for a couple of weeks, but at no point did I really believe that was going to be the case. And even if they were, I would have urged to not be big buyers at the trade deadline. Because
mm-hmm.
they have a good young nucleus, and I don't want to offer them what I really think is going to be. If you let it develop, and if you get some more key pieces, I think this piece is really good here. I still see a lot of good things. I like the back end of their bullpen, Maris and Genmar Gomez.
Yeah, that has
yeah,
been a pleasant surprise.
And I still like Aaron Nola, Velasquez.
you know, Hellickson, I think you could probably end up moving him to the deadline to get him something. But it's possible that he brings him to the
station. What the heck is going on there?
I'm not sure what the next topic
is. My computer just made like this weird noise. I'm not sure what the heck was going on there, but
it didn't sound good.
No,
I'm not liking your computer.
I thought you were under invasion there or something.
It's very possible. I think my computer might be planning its attack.
Cylons are revolting.
Yeah.
Terminator. Yeah.
I sure hope not. That would suck.
Yeah, it would. But I wanted to talk
indeed
about the final question of the show. I wanted to get into a little bit of Sixers draft talk. I had a wild scenario that I wanted to run by you guys. You know, don't check me through when you get into I'm done.
But that's the fun part.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you can't check me in, but say what you're going to say. Okay. Two trades that we could have happen here.
Okay.
Okafor to Boston, along with the 26th.
Already, I don't like it. Sorry.
Hold on. In exchange, you get the 3rd and the 16th pick. And then you call up the Lakers, and you're dealing Nerlens Noel and the 16th pick, along with the 24th pick, to the Lakers for the number 2 picks, so you pick 1, 2, and 3.
Well, one,
yeah,
I will absolutely drive you to the insane asylum.
Okay.
Two, I don't ever want to trade in the division, especially a player like him. The simple fact that you're trading both your big men, the healthy ones, and you're keeping the one you have no idea whether or not they're actually going to play. If Embiid ends up never playing, you would have just literally lost all three big men in one fell swoop. Now, I got it. It's sexy getting Ben Simmons and Ingram and Dunn or whoever you're going to take at that 3 spot.
Either Dunn or Murray, yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Real sexy. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You have 1, 2, 3 punch, and then who else do you got? You have Embiid, maybe?
Still have Saric coming over.
You have Saric,
yeah,
who we have no idea what he's going to be like. Personally, I think Saric needs to be your 7. Noel needs to be your 6. You need to figure out Embiid and Okafor to play with each other. God willing, they will be. There's your 5 and their 4. You have whoever
Simmons
we end up taking at 3 or at the first pick, unless it's Simmons.
Yeah.
Who, again, a lot of people have been putting him at number 1, like the point guard, but I don't think he's really a number – I don't think he's really a point guard in the league.
He's not a traditional point guard, no.
But,
yeah, that's the problem.
Just,
where are you gonna, how are you going to use him? That's the problem, yeah.
Right.
He's kind of like a point forward.
Right, and I get that.
So I was just reading. It says all indications are that the Sixers are going to take Ben Simmons with the first pick. And there's been persistent talk that Simmons and his reps are angling to land with the Lakers, who hold the 2nd pick.
I
heard
that.
I don't
care.
If you want to play, you'll play here.
Well, and the thing is, though, Brett Brown is good friends with Ben Simmons' father.
Correct.
So part of me is like, you know, part of me thinks it's all BS.
Mike,
and you're going to play.
Well, this
like,
is
I get it, but like, like in Sixers versus the Lakers, I understand that the Lakers have a much longer and more traditional, you know, history of winning. But, you know, Sixers are no slouch in their history. You know, they've won they've won a couple championships. They've been a top team for a while. So, but not to cut everybody off, but we're about to get cut off. we got about 10 seconds. We'll take you out into the podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter for the Philly Mick.
I'm the Philly Home.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia. All right, and we are on live and in the podcast. Okay, sorry. Continue. Or was
I
talking?
Well,
I forget.
We were just talking about.
I personally,
I like what you said about Rich's history. It's not, you know. I mean,
so like, yeah, I can understand if we were. I can understand if. Well, yeah, I can understand if we were like the Kings or you know the Nuggets or somebody that doesn't have a nice rich history, good tradition of winning, superstars and all that. But
I'm
just
saying, you try to bring up 83 to these players, they're going to look at you and be like, yeah, I wasn't born yet.
Well, I mean, I get that. I understand that. And all they remember is Kobe, Kobe, Kobe.
Well, and
yeah.
The first thing is they might remember Iverson.
Right.
I mean, Iverson is probably the biggest attraction to some of those young players. Granted, they didn't win a championship with Iverson, but they were must-see TV every night.
Sure. But to tell me that he would literally do that, I think it's insane. I think it's just a ploy to get it out there and cause drama. Personally, you draft Ben Simmons, you hold on to Okafor for a year because you got to see what you have with Embiid. You got to see if he can take the rigors of a season. If he starts breaking down, if he only plays like 50 games, he's in and out of the lineup, then you're like, maybe we should hold on to Okafor because we're going to need him.
Is Simmons going to be your point forward or what? What is he going to play?
I would say he'd be point forward, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to line up, but he's going to get.
So who are your guards going to be?
Well, that's a good question. We're going to have to sign somebody.
Yeah, maybe Ish Smith and whoever you can find in free agency. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I think this upcoming year, you know, again, I think if we keep all of our picks, you know, 24, 20, 26, we have to, you know, we're going to have to get a guard or two guards there.
Yeah.
Which are probably not going to be real good.
No.
Well, right. And you're understandably correct. But, you know, we're not planning on winning the championship next year, so... You know, let's sign some veteran guys, some guys to really help the young core of this team, you know, 1-2 year deals, and then save up that money for a big push for the following year. You have a year of Embiid under his belt finally, hopefully. You have a second year of Okafor, and again, depending on what you have and if they can end up working together, that's a nice 1-2 punch. You have Noel coming into his fourth year. Coming off the bench
and
is a big man.
Contract year.
Contract year, you're right. So, you know, again, you know, maybe we don't retain him, maybe not, but whatever. You have Saric, again, contract year. And you just get to see what you have with him. So, but you have plenty of money to play with right now that, you know, say if at the end of all of this you end up with Simmons and Embiid and Okafor and, you know, say Saric and Noel walk. You know, that's still a nice 1-2-3 core. You're going to need, again, hopefully you sign good veterans that will be nice bench players. Then you can go ahead and sign the shooting guard and the small, you know, the small forward or whatever, the point guard or however you're going to mix and match the lineup. So you can sign the two other starting positions. And, you know, again, if you can get one of those two positions, you know, pretty good stud, you'll have a good contending team. In 2 years. I think that's the way to go.
And also, don't forget, next year, the Sixers are going to have...
Well, I can understand that you don't want to get rid of both big men. I can see that, but...
I could just see the Sixers' luck that the second they trade away Okafor, Embiid, you know, breaks his leg and he's done forever.
Third surgery, and he's never going to play.
Now,
well, I just think we're too top-heavy. We need a point guard. We need some shooters. We need some people who can shoot the ball because that would open things up for Okafor. I mean, think about how he was this past year. Just think what he would be if he actually had a point guard or somebody could shoot out there that would give him some room underneath.
And that's the temptation
less,
for Ingram, too.
Much less anybody. He had nobody.
Yeah.
And he still scored 20 points a game. So the simple fact that you bring in Embiid, you know, you have Saric, you have Noel there, you know, you have Simmons, that'll open up his game that way as well already. And again, if you can bring in a good shooter, that's just even
free
more
agent.
So. But the only way I'm trading Okafor right now.
How about Kevin Durant?
Well, I'd love to get Kevin Durant, but
I know. You would.
Or DeMar
they could
Rosen,
offer him a ton of money.
You know, or DeMar DeRozan.
I think
DeRozan,
he ends up
DeRozan.
Deal with City and with a chance to opt out after 1 year.
Yeah. But again, the only way that I'm trading Okafor is if, one, I'm trading into the West. I don't want to have to see him every year, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get a top pick, hopefully that's, you know, one in the top six range, and I can get a serviceable player. If somehow, some way, I could package up Okafor, the 24, the 26, and, you know, and even if I got to throw in a pick for, you know, say, next year or the following year or whatever.
What about
LA for number two and somehow get D'Angelo Russell.
Well, I think you could maybe pick off, you know, send them back their pick space and stuff. That might, you know, all in your deal. You know, sending them...
That's certainly something I'd be okay with. Is, you know, Okafor, the Lakers pick for next year, to the Lakers for the two and Russell. And maybe if I got to throw in the 24 or the 26, I'm okay with that. Because then what that does is gives you your point guard. It gives you the top two picks, essentially, to play the two and the three, however way you want to play them.
Sure.
And you have your two big men. In Noel and Embiid, and then you have Saric coming off the bench.
Yeah,
that right there is a pretty darn good team. And then you give it another year, and you go ahead and sign another big free agent, and boom, you
and
have a contending team.
Yeah.
And don't forget,
as it exists right
year,
now, though,
you have
players don't want to come here.
With Sacramento, you have the option if Sacramento ends up getting, like, say, a top couple pick. You could then switch and take Sacramento's pick, and so therefore then you get another good talent next year in the draft.
Right. Well, and that's the thing I'm curious about. Say in the scenario that the Sixers, you know, do whatever, and let's just say they get the 15th pick. I know that's not going to happen, but. Let's just say for scenario's
sake.
Sure,
we'll say
for
now. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, say, you know, Sacramento gets, like, the third pick. But say, in this scenario, say the Sixers get, like, eighth, Sacramento gets three, but the Lakers, which obviously would then become ours, say, gets, like, the 10th. Can we swap the Lakers pick that's ours with Sacramento? Do we have to do ours with them?
I think it has to be ours.
So if we were to somehow trade our pick away next year, we couldn't swap no matter what.
Right. I believe that.
So say we trade away our number one pick, and yada, 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 and the Lakers pick comes to fruition, and it's number 10.
But we
Sacramento
could trade away the rights
three.
To those picks we have.
Yeah, we can trade the right. Like we could trade that right to the pick swap.
Swap. Yeah. No, very true.
Yeah.
And again,
I think, you know, looking at it next year, you know, the Lakers aren't going to be that great. Let's be honest. Even with, you know, whoever they get in the draft, they still got a young bunch of team players. They're losing Kobe. You know, they have a bunch of old veterans just kind of sitting there. Yeah, they're going to be a top 10 draft team. So say
I think
that
going
comes to fruition. Say Sacramento, again, looking terrible as always, you know, is a top 5 pick. And say we're another top 10 pick. You know, we could theoretically have three top 10 picks.
Well, I mean, it's two.
Technically you're right, too. But, sorry. But, yes. We could get, you know, hopefully, you know, two nice top 10 picks
like
to add to the already.
Yeah. It's to say the Kings are picking third, the Lakers are picking, like, say, seventh. We ended up at, like, I don't know, pick 12. Like, we could then, like, we get Sacramento's pick. That would be the ideal situation because then we split, you know, 12.
Because we could swap picks
three.
With them.
Yeah, we could get three and seven. And that would be a huge
impact. The Lakers,
so,
we get their pick.
Right.
Yeah,
we get their
if
pick.
It's outside of the three.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but next year, I think next year it goes down that it has to be a one or two.
Does it?
I think, yeah, I think it's even worse.
Wait, it was last
good.
Wait, last
this
year.
This year it had to be out of the top three. I think next year it has to be out of the top three.
And last
three.
Year it was the same thing, correct? Because it was 2 years
ago.
No,
last
top
year
three,
it was the top five or something.
Yeah, last year was top five.
Yeah.
Then, no, it's another year of top three protection.
And then it goes so, top two?
No, then I think it's open.
Just our pick? Okay.
Yeah. So, really, what we really should hope for. Is the Lakers just suck for the next 2 years,
and then
in 2 years'
end up
time from now,
get
the
yeah.
number one pick. And hopefully
they got
some
a lot
high
of
school kids.
They're gonna,
some high school kids.
By that time, they're
going to
have a lot of good talent.
Well, exactly. You'll have a lot of young talent, and it'll be, you know, again, a process of, all right, well, you know, we have 10 guys under the age of 25, yeah, let's just go with the ones that actually, you know, are all right. And the rest we could just kind of get rid of and
then,
replace with veterans.
Look, at that point, you could have somebody coming free in free agency, like Kyrie Irving or somebody like that, that's around all these big guys in Philadelphia, and all they need is a distributing guard. And here I am, a good scorer and a good guard. And, man, that's a team just looking for their, you know, the guy to run their offense.
Right. That's why I think next year is the year to go out to the free agents. This year is to prove that we're a team that people are going to want to come to. So you got to showcase the talent of the youth.
We want to win. Yeah.
Showcase the talent of the youth. Show the improvement over the you know the tank years. You know, come out there with you know 30 wins. I don't know something, and show that all right. Wow, you know these young kids are pretty good. You know they're only going to get better. You know, and you know, you have a player coming in. You know, LeBron's kind of getting old. You know, the East is kind of open right now. You know, LeBron only has a couple more years left. Let me go to the Sixers, sign for a, you know, 4 or 5 year deal, and boom, 2 years, you know, we're the top team in the East.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We got to open up by 2020. We'll be good.
Yeah.
Just hope we're still alive, right?
Yeah, right. Amen to that. So, you know, at least if anything, things are very positive. I think more so than any other team, you know, in Philadelphia, there's just an overwhelming sense of positivity with the youth that we have and where
well,
this team
they
is
always,
going.
They always use the term, like, in you know, politics, or do you feel like the next 5 years are going to be better than the past 5 years? I think there's no doubt in my mind
that
the next 5 years are going to be better for the Sixers than the last 5 years.
No, I think when you look at all the other teams in, you know, in Philadelphia, I think there's a good amount of promise in all of them in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the Eagles, you have, you know, defense is finally coming together. You have Carson Wentz. You know, you have a new scheme. You got rid of Chip Kelly. Things are starting to look up.
Yeah, there's just
you
some
know,
fresh,
Flyers, you have
like,
yeah. Flyers, you have this young defense, these bunch of young kids that are going to be coming up through the league. You have Ghost, you know, you have a you know a decent,
really
you know, couple stars there. Things are looking up for the Flyers. Phillies, while yes, they just sucked. You know, they have a lot of young talent coming up through the minor league system as well. So I think it's a good, you know, it's a good time to be a you know Philadelphia fan, where in the next
as
5 years things are going
to
be so
be
much
a good
better.
Time to get in, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, we only do have probably mere seconds before we get cut off. So in an effort to not get cut off, I'm going to wrap things up. Thank you very much, old man, for calling into the show. We do appreciate it, as always.
No problem.
Out there
I want to give a shout-out to Rick McLeish. Flyer passed away.
Yes, one thing
yesterday.
We did not mention.
Absolutely.
You know,
glad you mentioned.
Yeah, great Flyer. Lost his life the other day.
Yeah.
You know,